It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Telford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Josh Brown.
Hello there.
Now, the last podcast we did was a bit of a slightly incendiary one at the beginning because we talked about Halo, and I opened it by just sort of asking a very charged question because I knew it would get some answers going. I'm going to do the same thing again. Is Fall Guys a good game? Feel free to jump in with what
yes,
you think.
Yes, it is.
It is, isn't it? It's all right. But it's just, it's one of those things, I forget which one of you, I think it was Josh said that he was struggling to sort of like weigh up exactly the pros and cons, and he doesn't know whether he doesn't like it, and the physics can be completely broken, the camera can be a complete mess. And it's one of those things where I also think that I sometimes come away from it going like, I don't even know if I qualify this in like my top 10 or 15 of the year, but it is a big deal and it's really popular and it's quite innovative, but I don't know.
Can I agree? I agree on one thing, the camera, but then basically it's because I think, especially on Hexagon, I'm too busy trying to jump from each hexagon to try and manage the camera at once. And when I do, that's when I kind of like then fall into the goo and become another jelly bean thing.
It's the bits with the plumbing. It's every time it's something that has like a chunk of environment, like the geography, the more you spin the in tail tag, if it's not the final one, when you're up against the different teams and you're rotating the camera around, then you can just get, it can just go behind something and all of a sudden you're just a shadowy blob trying to figure out what angle to grab in. That's when it gets really bad.
I love the idea of Fall Guys, right? I really enjoy the aesthetic of Fall Guys, what it stands for. I love what they're doing on like social media and stuff. But it's the only time that I've ever fully got streaming as a thing. Like, it's the only time I've ever had a game that I want to watch more than I want to play. Like, playing Fall Guys, I get very little fun out of it because I don't find it all that engaging. But like I said, the idea of it, in watching other people play it, watching my friends play it, playing it with friends sometimes, like, that's much better. That gives me the same kind of vibes as, you know, the kind of game shows that it's sort of paying homage to, you know what I mean? They're the kind of things that I don't think, for me anyway, man, like, I don't enjoy trying to come first. I get nothing from trying to come
have
first or playing through the game. I have won. I've won. Okay. I've only won twice, but I haven't played it like loads. And both times on the tail grab one at
right.
the very end.
The grabber, eh?
Yeah, I was going to quickly say that the, because we can break down some specifics about the mini games, but obviously a lot of them are geared towards maximum hashtag fun, and that's a lot of physics-based stuff, a lot of things that can go either way. And, you know, and just simple sounding stuff like push this football through a goal or whatever. But I love the tail tag ones. I love all the team-based ones because they just are stupid. And but I know that
you love,
like,
the worst ones.
Well, then, but that's the thing. Why are they the worst ones? Because everyone who says that they're the worst ones are trying to play with some modicum of tactics that game is not built for whatsoever.
Because what you're doing is you're trying to defend the goal and you're losing 9-0 because all these random goblins from all across the globe, maybe the universe, are just crap. And that's all I can say in the public. They're just crap.
Right. I made a stupid tweet about this saying that, you know, I feel if you didn't cope well with group projects in school or whatever, you won't cope well with the team games and Fall Guys. And I feel that. I don't think it's fun, Scott Telford, to be on like the receiving end of a losing team and just watching my teammates completely mess it up when you're trying. Like, that's not the anarchy I'm here for. I'm here for the little beans getting flicked all over the place. Right. And I'm here for the slime catching up with us. But the frustration that comes with some of the more basic team games, like I quite like the Rocket League football. football one, mm-hmm. that one's ace. But anytime I have to put like an egg in a basket or a football in a basket, I just think,
steal some eggs if you want.
Why am I doing this? I don't want to steal. I don't want to steal the eggs, Scott. I don't want to steal the eggs, man. I got eggs at home. I can order the co-op in. You know what I mean? They can deliver me some eggs to my house. Look,
not to be sponsored by co-op, but I think that you could.
Well,
I
mean, not
in that mode.
Though.
They should have had a punch in there or something. Because as soon as you get a gold egg, I stand there and defend the line. I'm just like, I'll just grab everyone that tries to get in, and I grab the guy's face. Like, no, you're not getting in. And it's like,
right. And then that becomes the whole game. I agree with Ben Roy. If in those team games they gave me like a cricket bat and I could go knocking these beans out with, I think I'd be all right with it.
Yeah.
To be honest, like if they had a more violent mode, like I would take something more melee based, something more like Gang Beasts, but that's just so not what they're building. They're very much going for like a wholesome all ages, don't worry about it, dress up as a hot dog and go do a dive through the finish line. Like that's entirely what they're going for. However, Seesaw can burn in.
No,
because I absolutely hate that.
And also, I need to take that time code now because you said a bad word. But
it deserves it. To be honest, I don't care.
But the Seesaw is all about patience. And if you run in there in the masses, then you're going to die. If you're in front, you can run away straight away. Or you could stand at the start line for 2 minutes, let everyone filter out and then win. It's all about patience.
The thing is,
Roy.
No, everyone says that it's all about patience. Trust me, as a level 33er, it's more about not trying to get
I'm level 33 as well.
Well, okay, so it's not about getting that stupid physics glitch where if you land it on like a 30 degree angle, the legs just go, oh, I don't know, and your guy just rolls off the side. What the hell is that?
I'll say what you just said. The chaos is part of the fun. If you try to play this tactically, you're going to have a bad time.
No, but there's a difference between team tactics and assuming a level of coordination and just basically jumping to a platform, which you can't do sometimes, but you can other times.
I would rather the dodgy physics than have to rely on goblins that I don't know. When I have friends in the team games, they're a little bit better, but still...
Sliding off his own mates, they're good.
I mean, the only one where you can really coordinate with friends is Rock and Roll, where you push the ball forward, and then you get one or two of you troll the other team and hold their ball back as they try.
That's great.
Yeah, like that. That's kind of the perfect team game for me. And that I don't mind the egg one as well, because as soon as but the egg one's pretty, just stand there and hold the line. But apart from that, I think I'd rather the chaos than rely on other people.
Okay, because they are very much clearly steering into that. Like, I mean, that's the thing because the thing with Fall Guys is I think it makes an immaculate first impression. Like I said, I'm level 33. I'm one of the things that I've dipped into nearly every day, but that stuff started to peter out a bit, and I've started to sort of hit a little bit of a grind. And one of my issues with it is that they serve up the same levels over and over and over again, and I'm sick of Whirligig and Seesaw. I get them all the time. I know it's the same thing with you guys in terms of something that might sort of wane you on it.
Yeah, that's what immediately kind of like put me off it, like even in the first few hours, because I kept getting the memory one over and over again. I think I just ragged on it to you guys for ages. Yeah. I didn't like that one, and I didn't like the team tail grab one. And when it serves you those kind of stages up over and over again, it does start getting fatiguing. But maybe that's kind of like our problem for grinding it out. You know what I mean? Maybe it is more of a party game where you're supposed to just jump on it when you've got friends around or when you've got a spare hour and you want some kind of like silly fun rather than kind of this intense, I want to grind out the rewards. I want to get to master these levels or whatever.
Yeah, it's clearly not meant to be like a thing that you run and rerun and I'm going to get master strategies and whatever. You can get those things, but there's really only one path through each level. It's not like they built it with like variation in terms of the paths in mind. It's not like you can get a certain skill set and then get a specific path through the level opens up, or you see someone going a different way and it's like, oh man, if only I knew how to do that, I would go that way. Like I one of the glitches that I came across was someone bouncing on someone else to stand on the side during that level where all the platforms are slowly coming towards you and you're standing in the middle and they sort of like rotate around, and people have sort of figured out that you can jump up on the sides and just watch everybody like try to survive as they survive by default. And that made me go like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's obviously a glitch and it'll get patched out, but that's potentially cool. But I guess, have you found like the level repetition, Ben Roy? Like, is it the same? Because I think you're more okay with the levels than me. I've just kind of got really sick of them.
I've noticed them a bit. It's more, I just take it with a pinch of, like, I don't normally use the excuse, but it's a pinch of the indie dev and a pinch of, like, I don't know, there is 25 levels, right? And
21. Then there are,
pardon?
21, or 22 now, because they added the other spinny one.
According to whatculture.com, an article coming out later, there's 25.
Who's that?
there are variations of the same game, but like, say, Tail Tag and that. But like you say, and like that jump one where Jump Showdown is also the same as the other jump one, but the floor drops out of you. But for me, it's more, I wish there was, I mean, this would probably make the problem worse, really, if I could just do singles rather than games. But yeah, my thing is I've tried to relax on it a bit more because, yeah, it's probably not going to see new actual levels for another 50, 40 days whenever the season ends.
Assumably, so, yeah.
I'm trying to...
Right, for me, it's because, you know, like Benroy said there, when it comes to the solo levels, and especially like the race levels, even though I get those quite a lot, you know, I get, is it Slime Climb, like over and over again, I don't mind it so much because often there is kind of not necessarily variation in the tactics, but because there's so many other peoples, I find that there's always something I have to accommodate for every single time, whether it's, you know, a tight kind of corner where there's more people than there were the last game or whatever. Whereas I don't get that same variation from the team games. I feel like when it comes to those and the memory one, which I guess is solo, I am just doing the same thing every single time, just hoping my kind of like teammates, you know, are on the same wavelength and stuff, and it doesn't have the same kind of immediate fun that I think the races do. And I know there's a big division over whether people actually like the team games or whether they whether it should have just been, you know, the races, 21 races or whatever like that. For me, I would have preferred that, but that's because I loathe playing with strangers, and a lot of people don't loathe playing with strangers. Scott Telford and Ben Roy, so maybe
For me, that is, it's just one of the positives. I don't know. I don't ascribe any level of coordination, tactics. It's just one big mess. It is pouring beans into a bowl. That's just all it is.
With eggs, there is a coordination. If you do not get gold eggs, you're not going to win, like sort of thing. Like that's, if you don't have a defender on, which people have started to do now, if you don't have someone in defense in the gold ones, you're going to get like a Shuhei Ishida who just stands there and just headers them in one after the other and you can't stop them sort of thing. Like
that is like a tactic as well. Yeah. There is like a whole thing of like getting in the nest or the basket or whatever and getting one egg and then throwing it back down the middle so it goes right down so someone else can get it.
I have seen a dirty tactic. So, you know, as you climb out the basket, there's those two levels before the high level. Mm-hmm. You can get gold eggs in the little corner there, and if two beans walk towards it, you can't pull them away. So that means the eggs stay in front of them. So that's a way that I've seen two people hold and lock gold eggs in for the whole round.
That sounds very nefarious. We should talk about the grab, because if we talk about like base mechanics, like, yeah, you can jump, you can dive, and you can grab. And the grab is weird because I lost one of the slime climbs because I got right to the end. I got through everything and I got to the very end. And one guy was standing on the checkpoint and I went for a hug because I thought it'd be cute to go for a hug. Grabbed me, threw me off the side. And I just thought, what state of the world this is.
That's so pure, man. That's like you summed up. Like anyone else would be avoiding that dude at all costs. They would be crossing the street, but you go in for a hug because you just think the best of people.
I just thought it would be cute, and then like for the other times, like, you can go up to people on the finish line, have a nice little hug, tap at the R2, little hug, and then you're through the finish line and it's all gravy. But this guy held on for a bit long. I thought, this is a bit weird, and then I was scooting off the side. Because the thing is with the grab, if someone else holds, I think this is how it works, if someone else holds the analog stick in a certain direction, you will fall in that direction. It seems like there is like a targeting element to it, but I'm still yet to actually figure that out. Have you had any experience or any instances of this where the grab seems to have an effect on you other than just hugging?
Yeah, where it kind of like pushes you away, doesn't it?
Yeah. But to the point where you can propulsively throw someone in a certain direction, because I've not done that since I've tried.
If you hold the grab for as long enough, it will pop them off, but they can't be grabbing you once. But I do, you know, the Indiana Jones one, the tic-tac-toe or whatever it's called, the penitent man will pass. Like when that's just everyone just ramming through and just committing suicide, I'm trying to shove people in so I can sort of wait there.
But do you think if they tightened that up and made it so that when you press, because it has that strange little, like it has the UI prompt, like, oh, you're targeting this person, and it like zooms in on someone, and that can be kind of messy when you're in like a group of people and you're trying to grab a specific tail or something like that. Do you think if they tightened that side of it up, like for you, Josh, like would that be something that brings you back around if you knew more reliably what you could do in those scenarios?
That's the one element where I think it's good being as messy as it is, because I quite like it's almost a social experiment, you know what I mean? It's like, will people be able to abuse the systems that are in there to start griefing people? And the answer has been yes. You get those people on the finish line pushing Scott Telford's of the world off the arenas, and I quite like that. I feel like if you make that potential for griefing a bit more targeted, it might become really annoying if people have more kind of options at their disposal vessel to just kind of like ruin your life. I don't think that PvP element should become kind of like more pronounced. I think it's good where it is, and it just
you had a baseball bat before.
So yeah, but only in the team games where I get where it is more PvP. I suppose it's always PvP. I'm not really making a very coherent point, but the idea is, when it comes to baseball bats, that's probably more fun, Scott. Just give I'll me tell you what you're in the egg run.
Yes, I'll tell you what your coherent point is. Why isn't this Doritos Crash Course? Because you're bringing that up in the Slack DMs all day long.
I love Doritos.
I can't have this. I'm going to interrupt you and be rude and just say, this is just young Brown talking. go back and play it now if you even can, if it even exists on a server somewhere, and then go and play Sneak King afterwards, because I'm just not having this. But I'll let you have the floor now and say why you like it. But I just
Gears 5 fan cites young argument as reason to not say game is still good.
Ori and the blind fan next to me just thinks.
All I'm saying is the worst, mate.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
I keep bringing up the comparisons to Doritos Crash Course, two people who don't even play games that much, and they all seem to get it instantly because that idea of running through this kind of soft play kind of arena, this race course thing that is kind of like a Takeshi's Castle or something like that. Mm. Like Doritos Crash Course did that really well, and that was a solo thing where you're kind of on like these monkey bars and stuff, and you were kind of overcoming these kind of quite silly obstacles, and it had the same kind of element of skill involved that Fall Guys does, where you want to kind of master a space. And I think the races in Fall Guys mimic that quite nice with the added anarchy of everyone around you, which is exactly what I wanted from this game. Mm. It's just that, yeah, like it does, the appeal for me wears off after a while, and it gets to the point where, like I said at the beginning, I'm playing it over and over again, I'm running it over and over again, and yeah, I'm having a fun enough time, but it's kind of lonely. It's a bit of a lonely experience because I don't seem to get any of those like stories that a lot of people have, like you do when you had that moment where you hugged the guy. And maybe
it's not a good story.
Well, I think it is. Like, that's what I want to play this for. I don't want to play it to win. I want to have those kind of like wacky emergent moments that everyone seems to have, where they find out a kind of new tactic or something happens that's just kind of so ridiculous and it glitches out and it breaks the game. Mine, ultimately, have just kind of been very samey and a bit boring overall. Like, there's not much variation to it, and which is why I prefer watching it and watching other people play it, because there's the option for that without me having to actually, you know, kind of go through the motions to get to that point.
I was going to say, like, Benroy, have you found, because you're like overall in terms of just replaying it and going for the trophies and stuff, like, do you think you'll get the platinum? Like, are you going to explore as many avenues as possible?
Well, word on the grapevine is they're going to adjust it for the next season to have custom play, so you can just get some friends together and win five in a row and then you're done.
I was going to say that, yeah, that's one of the, surely that's the only way to get that trophy. It's people, only 0.1%. Right?
People have got it, but I'm not getting it.
How?
It's just
there's no way.
The people have got it and they tweet the Fall Guys account, and then they go, oh my god, lol, I thought I made this too hard, should have been 10. I was like, no, it shouldn't have been 10. It should have been nothing.
We should clarify that there's one trophy that they cited before launch would be nigh on impossible. They didn't expect people to get it, and it's win five episodes in a row, not five shows, which is the overall thing. Maybe the other way around, but as long as you basically win five in a row, you're fine.
Get like five crown dinners or whatever you want to call them. But it's weird because are you playing it alone a lot of the time then, Bran? Is that why you're so lonely? It's like,
I am too.
No, I am, tragically.
I know Scott isn't a multiplayer person as such with like other people. I see you play some other multiplayer games. Just switch that multiplayer time and, you know, get the gang in.
Yeah, Josh is a Warzone man.
Put
this
down
is where
that
I need
Warzone.
To explain it, right? Because it's a hard sell to drag my friends away from Warzone when I have to say we're playing this game and we can all be in the same kind of lobby, we can play together. But if one of you goes out, you're just going to have to watch us play.
It's only like 5 minutes. You know,
Five minutes, Benroy, when it's a school night and you've got stuff to do at work the next day, those 5 minutes add up when you could be playing something else as a team and enjoying that sliver of grown-up adult friendship time that we rarely ever get now.
This is where I disagree, because even though I'm a millennial, you millennials out there with your newfangled Battle Royale game, where back in my day you died and you sat there and you watched for half an hour until your friends then got to the
you
end of
it and you watch it.
And yeah, you lost as well, and it was all worth it.
To be honest, that having done a couple of matches with two and three people, I do agree with JB that it is annoying, but it is one of those things that maybe we just had to accept it back in the day because there was no alternative. Whereas now, if you get kicked out of a game in the first round and you're just watching your friend get through it, just who cares to bring it all back to not caring about friends and other players? I want to have another go.
I guess I use the time to, if it ever happens, troll the friend or troll them either way. If I'm out, I'm going to try and distract them.
Like, well, don't think they should have more stuff like that? Like, maybe you could be in control of some of the obstacles or something like that. I don't know.
I don't think. I think if he dies, he dies. I think you just got to watch. You just got to sit there.
Is that not from The Godfather?
That's from Rocky.
Rocky.
That's the only time anyone should be allowed to go on social media from now on is when they're dead and Fall Guys and their friends are still falling about. That's the new rule.
That's the new qualifier. I've got a couple of things I want to touch on. One is something that we mentioned in one of the news videos that me and Josh did about like the general idea of monetization, loot boxes, things like that, and the way that the storefront works in this. Because to me, that idea of like timed rewards, where it's like, you know, you've got 12 hours to get this thing and it times out and at some point in the future, it'll revolve around again. The PC version has been data mined, so we know that there's an absolute ton of costumes. That idea of something being timed, I took as just an incentive to go play more, but there is totally the reality of it where you might just not have enough time to get the crowns, to get the kudos, to get that thing that you want, and that is in a sense, like, you know, in a way it forces you to do the microtransaction thing, go buy the kudos instead. What do you guys think of that stuff? Like, because I think mainly because of the general personality and aura around Fall Guys and the way that it's been put out as this sort of indie thing, this indie experiment, kind of gets around it a bit. But if this was maybe a bigger team, we'd probably be coming down on it.
I think that the things for kudos are so cheap that unless you're literally playing for one or two rounds, then, I mean, like, you're going to get it. but with a crap.
This is not a casual thing for a couple of rounds, though.
And yeah, but I think if you play for a couple of rounds, you're gonna earn the kudos. I think that's so cheap. It's more like when we saw that first Crowns only one. Was it the Hotline Miami one?
Yes,
I think I would be more onto the game if you could buy the Crowns then, because I probably would have bought that stupid chicken outfit. But you can't, and you have to sort of earn them either through winning or through the sort of like the battle pass. So what's it called? The season we could call it battle pass. Yeah. I don't know. For this point, this is one where I'm sort of like pro it, because I don't know how you can't earn that much kudos unless you're literally playing for two rounds. And
well, I think it would be more a case of just giving you the full storefront option and just being, okay, I'm going to save up for this thing over here, as opposed to having to cram your time into whatever hours are left before it resets again.
They could get there, I guess. It's weird. I think it drives me more to play a bit more. But I personally don't have an issue if that's bad. I feel like I'm probably a bad capitalist now.
No, I think I didn't think of that side of it until, like, Josh, you mentioned it this morning, whereas I was just, it just makes me want to play more. But there is the reality that right now there's an Enter the Gungeon skin that's only available for like 3 hours, and I'm not going to be able to get 10 crowns to get the top and bottom of it. So there's totally that side of it. But what was your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think at the moment in its current form, it's not too bad. I'd be even more lenient if it was totally free to play. And I know that we got it free through like PlayStation Plus, but they are charging like $20 for it, like on Steam and stuff,
which seems a bit mad.
Which makes the storefront seem a bit strange. But I suppose for me, the closest kind of an analog to it is the way that Fortnite does it, or at least used to do it with their time storefront, where they would have these exclusive skins or whatever, these exclusive items, and then if you miss the cutoff point, like you can't get them again, and it becomes almost like a bragging right, I suppose, to have a certain skin or a certain item or whatever. And I think that can become insidious, and I think in general, like, there have been some like great videos like done about them. I think probably Jim Still has probably done one. I feel like there was one by Dan Olsen, in the way like Fortnite monetizes its marketplace and kind of creates this sense of fear of missing out, which then encourages people to go on and buy something now because they might not get a chance to get that thing again. And I think if we start seeing that kind of mentality pushed in these games, which are kind of like, you know, that they're incredibly kid friendly, and there's nothing worse, and I know we are far removed from it now, but like being in the school ground or being in a chat with your school friends and they've got a cool skin and you don't, and it's like, god damn it, I missed out on it, and kind of like cultivating that mentality, to me, it's a bit insidious. I'm not blaming just Fall Guys for this. I think it's kind of like across the industry as a whole, and I don't want to see it kind of double down on that, because timed exclusives can be cool to, like you say, have something to work towards. But when it kind of becomes cynically manipulative just to get people to either grind out the time or then just pay for it so they don't miss out, that's when I start getting a bit kind of worried about the intentions, especially in something like Fall Guys, which has such mass appeal and is targeting, you know, ultimately young people as much as it is old gamers like us three.
I will say, back when we were worried about that sort of thing, it was the actual skin we had on, it was the clothes we were wearing, rather than a virtual skin in the game. But I do see your point there. I just wanted to add, like, Gears used to do this quite a lot, but they've now, like, almost a year later, they've overhauled everything, and you do get the odd items that come in for a limited time with the paid only currency, or the one you have to sort of like grind for. But everything they now have just the bucket, where everything goes in the bucket eventually, and it's quite easy to do it. So I can see it's totally possible to have the best of both worlds for the dev, I guess, and for the players, where they have the bigger store option and try and smash down this Fortnite trend that has gone for everything.
I think if they had something that said like, hey, look, this skin's available for the next 12 hours. If you miss that, it's going to be X number of days until it's available again. At least there would be some sort of clarity as to things coming back around again. Because at the minute, it does encourage you to play. I did like that when I managed to get the Hotline Miami jacket, that I was one of the only people wearing it at the time. And that felt good. And I guess that's the thing that they want to sort of cash in on, which, like, you know, like Josh said, it's not new to this game. But there is that side of it where, like, long term, like, how do they keep this thing going? You know, it's not a free to play thing, so they don't necessarily need it. They have a lot of unit prices, and they've already sold like 2.5 million copies between PS4 and Steam. So yeah, there's an argument to be made that it's a potentially aggressive monetization strategy.
Yeah, I think Ben Roy's right when he was talking about kind of like the approach of it all goes in the hat eventually, you know what I mean? I feel like it shouldn't have to be everything or nothing. It shouldn't have to be you either get the skin in this time period or it's completely out of the question. Like you could have a system where it's discounted when it's first launched. So like the Hotline Miami outfit is like 5 crowns now, but after 28 days or something, that becomes 10 crowns. And yeah, that kind of sucks if you also can't get 10 crowns, but it's a way to kind of create that sense of immediacy in the storefront and the desire from you to want to play to unlock this thing without kind of it feeling like you need to get it now, you need to get it, you need to come on and play, you need to come on and pay, otherwise you're not going to get it at all. Like at least the option would be there, and I hope they do kind of go down a similar route to that. Again, this is me more commenting on kind of like the worst it could be, which for me is Fortnite and some other games in the kind of like genre. It might not get to that level now, and I am giving it like a lot of leniency because it's got so much personality, and like you said, the currency currently is quite easy to farm out as long as you're playing. But you know, we've been in this industry too long and we know the tricks too well to not see the eventual end game of these systems, and I hope it doesn't go or get to that point.
I
was gonna say, I will say, because you can't buy the crowns, I'm giving them the benefit of doubt as a company entity, because that would be so easy just to be like, you can pay for the crowns as well, sort of thing. I think that's the one thing that like gives me a little bit of faith in them, I guess.
Well, it's but you can pay for the kudos, like the timed items are still kudos based.
A lot of the bell ones are crowns, though. To be fair, like the Hotline Miami King crowns.
All the legendary ones are, yeah.
The Gungeon one crowns, but like I've got 12 crowns sitting there, and I don't want to spend them because I'm too scared that Colonel Sanders is going to come along and be a skin, and I'm going to miss out.
That needs to be one giant piece of popcorn chicken. Like I just want that, just a popcorn chicken with legs. Yeah. I would take that. I was going to say for the wrap up point, I guess, just what do you want to see from the future of it? Like, do you see it just kind of continuing to be the way it is and they plug levels in, or do you think they'll change stuff in terms of like the physics, the way like, the abilities that your characters have and stuff like that? Like Josh, essentially, what would get you back in? How do we make it as good as Doritos Crash Course, mate?
More levels. Like that's the big thing for me. And I don't want to ask too much because like you say, it is kind of like a smaller scale game, but at the same time, I want to jump on in like a year's time when there are double the amount of levels, maybe triple the amount of levels, and you get that kind of variety or specific playlists where I could kind of just avoid the ones that I don't like, or kind of like team-based playlists, something like that. Essentially what they have now, I think, is like a great foundation currently, and I just want to see that kind of expand and be built upon in a way that a lot of these games, you know, genuinely are. Like a few years down the line, I want to see this become a big thing. I want it to succeed because like I said at the start, I love the idea of Fall Guys. It's just currently I just don't love playing it, so I wouldn't be averse to kind of, like I said, those specific playlists for specific things, and that's maybe where you could add the abilities in, and just in general kind of copious amounts of extra variety when it comes to the levels and more races. Because
what's been quite weird, just as a little side point, is like this is one of the biggest games that's taken off on reputation alone. Like I haven't seen the arbitrary social media posts where they gather together all the reviews and all the 5 stars and all the quotes and everything else. That I haven't seen any of that. I mean, I know IGN gave it like an 8 or something, and you know, a lot of people are talking about the fact that for the most part it's mechanically tight, but it's entirely based on reputation and the fact that it's taken off on social media and like,
oh, dude, yeah,
you know, yeah. It's just that seems to be it gets by on that a lot more.
The brand like thirsty.
They're going to teach like the way this game was marketed in like schools, man. Like,
well, it's Rocket League. It's just like Rocket League had the mechanical side of it too, in terms of like saying that this is an incredibly like solid game. But it's like they literally said beforehand they were just going to do what Rocket League did, which like has paid off massively. But yeah, Benro, what would your plans be for the future?
More levels, I think. The option to split team and solos in that sort of thing, like where it's just races and sort of like the football sort of side of it, and maybe a custom sort of like friends match or something, or maybe do bots so you can get those trophies.
I would take something that makes the impossible trophy actually remotely doable, because I can't even imagine the pain of winning 4 in a row and then losing the 5th. Like just that, the idea of that is just literally straight up painful. For me, it would just be more levels, more indie skins. Just get like Devolver own pretty much every single major indie title right now, so just give me more of that stuff. But yeah, let us know anything down in the comments below. How have you found Fall Guys? Have you found it to match up to its reputation, or is it lacking a bit, and what else would you add to it? And for now, that's not the right outro at all. I don't care. Let's leave this in. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Goodbye there.
And Josh Brown.
See you later.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.